Welcome to Spotlight on Science at the Smithsonian, a bi-weekly newsletter from the Office of the Undersecretary for Science. This is Volume 3, Number 20, released on the 5th of December, 2005. In this edition, you'll find a welcome from Dr. David Evans, the Smithsonian Undersecretary for Science, and articles about Smithsonian research on predicting success in college chemistry, the discovery of frozen microbes and their implications for finding life on Mars, and a hardy new weed that has infiltrated Texas. And now, a word from the Undersecretary.
In 1937, the Smithsonian began a six-year radio broadcast of science talks entitled "The World is Yours." Each week's program began with the words, "Men have searched the earth, air, even the sun and stars in their never-ending quest for knowledge." That quest continues today. I'm David Evans, Undersecretary for Science at the Smithsonian Institution, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to Smithsonian Spotlight on Science, our effort to bring news of cutting-edge Smithsonian science to a wide audience. If you joined us during Spotlight's two-year infancy, we hope you'll enjoy the changes. If you're a newcomer, we're glad you've chosen to make us a part of your day. Spotlight was born out of a desire to share Smithsonian scientific explorations with fellow staff members. Over time, it has grown into a science briefing appreciated by a wider audience, including longtime supporters of the Smithsonian. Now, with a new look and new multimedia features, we hope to be a reliable and even entertaining source of Smithsonian science news to a wide audience of the curious and well-informed of all ages. In redesigning and adding features to Spotlight, we have made it printer-friendly, so you can take it with you on the subway. You can also take it with you on your next bike ride by automatically downloading it to your MP3 player. With new PDF and podcast versions backed up by our trusty web page and emailed newsletter, we hope it is even more convenient to learn about Smithsonian science while reaching out to a more diverse audience. We've even simplified our web address. You can now find us at science.si.edu. Finally, Spotlight will now arrive on the web in your mailbox, at your printer, or in your MP3 player every 2 weeks. That gives us more time to fully develop the stories and to create all the versions of Spotlight that we hope will make it a truly flexible companion. Please share your impressions of the design and features of Spotlight on Science at the Smithsonian. We'll be watching our mailbox, spotlight@si.edu, for your thoughts and comments. It is our fondest wish that while you're sitting on a bus reading about a new pulsar in the latest issue of Spotlight, the sounds you hear blaring from the headphones of the high school student sitting next to you will be the same issue's next story about the discovery of a fungus half the size of Wisconsin. Then we will truly have fulfilled our mandate to both increase and diffuse knowledge to an interested and energized public.
Now let's see what our researchers have learned about predicting success in introductory college chemistry. The quality of science education in the United States has been criticized in recent years. Philip Sadler, director of the Science Education Department at the Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, and his colleagues at the Curry School of Education at the University of Virginia, researched the link between experiences in high school chemistry and performance in introductory college chemistry. Factors that influence success in college-level science courses include demographics, general educational experience, and prior science courses. The scientists surveyed 1,531 students enrolled in introductory chemistry classes required for science and engineering majors at 12 universities to determine what experiences they had in high school chemistry classes. They found that many factors influence performance in college chemistry. Demographic influences accounted for substantial differences in performance. More interestingly, they found that experiences in high school chemistry did significantly impact future chemistry success. Students who were required to have a full understanding of topics, rather than fact memorization, performed better in college. Laboratory experience was also significant. Students whose high school labs focused on understanding concepts, rather than the mechanics of the experiment, did better in college. The type and frequency of tests and assignments also affected future performance. Students whose tests contained a substantial amount of memorization and a high number of problems with calculations did better. Other predictors that did not appear significant in this study included class scheduling, number of labs, class size, number of demonstrations, studying qualitative problems, and the amount of homework required. These results suggest that the methods used in high school chemistry do influence success in college chemistry. This study indicates that students perform best in college chemistry if the focus of their high school chemistry courses was the importance of the understanding of concepts rather than coverage of a wide range of topics. And now, for a dose of cold, hard science, we'll hear how the discovery of frozen microbes is a key step to testing for life on Mars. Earthbound scientists are now able to examine the possibility of life on Mars by studying microbes recently discovered in Norway's Svalbard archipelago. This group of islands has geological features similar to those found on the Red Planet. Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History geochemist Ed Vicenzi, collaborating with an international team of scientists, discovered a rare and complex microbial community living in blue ice vents inside a frozen volcano. The group also sampled 780 million-year-old sedimentary rocks that yielded remarkably well-preserved microfossils. In addition to morphological evidence for early life forms, these rocks contain potential chemical signatures of Precambrian life. Characterizing these chemical biosignatures is a key goal for planetary exploration and the search for life beyond Earth. The expedition team, known as AMAZE, Arctic Mars Analog Svalbard Expedition, is working in Norway between latitudes 78 and 80 degrees north in an archipelago with rock units and mineralogy analogous to some Martian geology and features observed in the Smithsonian meteorite collection. The group is involved with designing and testing various devices, instruments, and techniques useful for detecting living and fossilized organisms here on Earth that may one day be wielded by people or robots exploring the surface of Mars. Vicenzi will examine the specimens collected in Svalbard using ion and electron beam methods to characterize the extent and nature of microscopic scale elemental or molecular biosignatures. These efforts will assist future missions that deploy ground-based spacecraft that will search for signs of life on Mars. Our final story comes from the world of botany, where a new weed takes hold in Texas. As a world expert on the plant family Comelinaceae, Robert Faden of the National Museum of Natural History is frequently asked to identify specimens and images of this group of mainly tropical herbaceous plants. These inquiries come from other research institutions, universities, government agencies, or private individuals. The 650 or so species of Comelinaceae in the world contain a number of ornamentals for gardens and greenhouses, and several significant agricultural weeds. 50 species of Comelinaceae, of which 35 are native, grow wild in the mainland United States, mostly in the eastern and southern states. Both the useful and troublesome species are often the subject of inquiries. Faden received one such question from David J. Rosen of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in Houston, Texas, in July of 2004. He was asked to confirm the identity of a species of Comelinaceae that apparently had escaped from cultivation and become established as a wild weed in two counties in Texas. When the specimen arrived at the Museum of Natural History, Faden was able to confirm the initial identification by Rosen that the plant was indeed a Gibbosis pellucida, or bridal veil, a native of Mexico. This plant, with numerous tiny white flowers, is commonly cultivated, but it's not considered winter hardy in most of the U.S. It was previously known to have been a weed only in Florida. With this identification in hand, Rosen and his team can help decide how best to handle this unwelcome member of the loved and feared Comelinaceae family. That's it for this edition of Spotlight on Science. Be sure to let us know what you think. Our email address is spotlight@si.edu. We hope you'll join us again soon.